these past 30 years, for his grace, as we started 30 years ago, on July the 14th, 1985, in my home, in Homestead, Florida. And we've been talking about, you know, we're still here. We're still here by the grace of God. Now, why are we still here? And again, it's been his grace, but as we look back, somehow, sometimes we're counting from the human perspective, and real quickly what we've spoken of thus far. We're here because God's called us to the ministry. Like he told Ezekiel, he said, "Son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, to a rebellious house, that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. Thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them." And so we continue on because God's called us to this ministry. As Paul said when he was called for the ministry, he says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And so by God's grace, we continue on. Second, we continue on because I don't think we could quit even if we wanted to. You know, not until God's ready for us to quit. It was like Jeremiah. He got tired, and he got frustrated, and he got disappointed, and he got down in the dumps. He got discouraged. Jeremiah said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Well, we talked about Simon Peter decided he was going to quit and go back to fishing. Lord didn't let him do that. Even a character like old Jonah, you know, he tried to quit, and he ended up in a whale's belly. And the Lord kind of changed his mind about that. And I just soon not make the Lord deal with me that way, though I've come pretty close to it a few times, I'm sure. So we continue on because I don't think the Lord let us quit even if we wanted to. Third, we continue on because as a Christian husband and father and now grandfather, I have to give an account for my own household. Paul wrote to young Timothy at Ephesus and said, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I have to make provision for my own family, for my own children, for my own grandchildren. I mean, we fold it up. You know, where would we go to church? Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so we continue on because we have to make provision for our own, even for our own selves. Number four, we continue on because, you know, to not continue on would be a sin against God's faithfulness of the past. Now, God has been faithful every step of the way. He's made every provision. Things have come our way, not as bad as what has come to some folks, but, you know, dealing sometimes with church members and family, dealing with a hurricane that blew away our meeting house and, you know, all sorts. But the Lord has been faithful every step of the way. How can we say after he's been so faithful, "Oh, no, we quit"? And that verse I gave on those bookmarks I made to mark this event in Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. "For the Lord, thy God, hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." You know, the Lord says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, kind of puny of us to try to forsake him in the light of that, wouldn't it? Okay, that brings us up to the fifth point, I think, where we stopped off last time. We continue on because though we're very small in number and sometimes a little bigger than we are now, sometimes a little smaller even than we are now, God has a faithful remnant. That word crops up throughout the scriptures. There's still a few who have determined not to bend the knee to Baal. There's still a few that are determined not to compromise with the world, not to adopt the modern reinterpretations of biblical standards and doctrines. We're talking about today during the fellowship. You know, there's actually some things that call themselves churches. They're not churches. They have gone along with all these sodomite marriages and all these other things. Embrace these things. And that's the world we live in. But there's still a remnant that won't adopt these modern interpretations of Scripture. Modern politicians, you know, are saying, well, you know, the churches need to get with it, you know, modify their beliefs. I'm going to have politicians running for president tell us that. The Lord's been pleased to bring in this little fellowship a portion of that remnant. And so it's imperative that we continue on. The Lord's brought, and the Lord's added. We read over in Acts, in the early church, in Acts 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, you can go to some of these seminaries and they'll teach you how to build a church, how to build a big, successful church. No, the Lord has to do it. The Lord adds to the church. You know, oh yeah, you can use those methods and you can add names to the roster. You can add names to the roll. You can't add to the Lord's church. The Lord does that. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. I don't want those folks that we could add through our human devices, because then we're going to have to deal with them. You know, the ones that are added by the Lord, He deals with. God said to Elijah, it says, yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. You know, we get all sometimes, oh, it's just us, and we're all by ourselves. And I sometimes do feel like that. But God said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Elijah. There's 7,000 in Israel. You may not know who they all are. You may not know where they all are. There's 7,000 in Israel, which have not bowed the knee to Baal. I have a remnant. And such as the Lord's brought together here, that remnant, you know, we have to minister to. Now, how could we break fellowship with that remnant and not minister as we are and allow them to flounder? Paul writes in Romans 11, verse 5, even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant. It just needs a little piece, a little part. But there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Paul, again, as he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. And Paul doesn't know who all the elect are. God does, but God uses us to minister to that elect, to minister to that remnant. Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The Lord's pleased to use us to minister to that remnant. And here we best be about that. Now, what an honor and a privilege that is, that we can bring light where God's already brought life. Dead man can't see that light. He's dead. Most of the theological world's turned it all upside down. They just say, tell that dead man, man, if you'll see that light, then you can be alive. But he's dead. And so Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. You know that I can, by the grace of God, I can bring them the glorious gospel of their salvation. They can hear and embrace and receive those things that God intends for them, and that God's ordained and predestined for them. And so we continue on because God still has a faithful remnant, however small that may be. Number six, we continue on because there is the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. There is the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to give an account. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Paul says this, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." He's talking to Christians. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. You know, we're going to give an account to our Savior. We're going to give an account to our Sovereign and to our Lord. And I can identify with that somewhat. I still remember what it was like to be a Marine, you know. And the time was, I would have to come into the colonel's office, and I had my heels locked in front of the colonel, and I'd have to give an account of the things that were done in the flesh. Well, there's going to be a bigger accounting. You know, that day's going to come, we're going to stand before our Lord, and we're going to give an account. Now, He's already taken our punishment. He's already assured our salvation. But we're going to give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh, how we served Him, how we carried out the orders He gave us. And one day, very soon, maybe sooner for some of us than others, or maybe tonight for all of us, but someday, very soon, we're going to give Him an account to the Lord. And so, I don't want to stand before Him and have to explain why I abandoned my post in the face of the enemy. And brethren, we're in the face of the enemy today. There's no doubt about that. We are in the face of the enemy. Not only are we a remnant, but you know, all the world out there knows we're a remnant. And they would like to purge the world of us. And so I don't want to stand before the Lord and have to explain why I quit my post in the face of the enemy. Now, it's possible the Lord would lead us in some other direction. You know, there's times I've thought about that or hoped the Lord would. But until He does, we're to continue on where He's placed us. And by God's grace, I pray that He allows us to hold fast where He's placed us until we receive orders to the contrary. You hold out. You know, when so you get to the end of the rope, you tie a knot and you hang on. And you know, we're kind of at that point. Or, you know, you can take the route that most of the religious world does. You know, you can compromise. You can make things a little bit easier so that you can be a little more prosperous. So you can be a little more successful in the world's eyes. Certainly a lot of churches have done that. But you know what? It always comes back to that one thing, and I've talked about this before. It always, you know, we could compromise, and we could bring the world into the church, and we could entertain the goats. Or we could be a lot bigger. But then you die. And then what? You say, oh, you may get success for a few years, but then you die. And you stand before the Lord. You know, sometimes I thought this retirement thing, I'd just kick back and just do whatever I want to, or do nothing. But I've been more busy, you know, with the church things and other things I believe the Lord's called me to, with, you know, with Free Florida First and some of these standing up to tyranny. And so I've been more busy with that than I've ever been before. I don't have time, you know, like just kick back and don't do anything useful. You know, maybe that time will come when I'm not useful anymore, you know. But hopefully I'm still a little bit useful. And so, you know, let me be used. Yeah, you can use all kind of methods. You can do all kind of things. You can get all kind of external results. But then you die. That's the bottom line. And then you stand and give an account before the Lord. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Now folks say, "Well, I believe the Lord's coming back." And they live like the devil. You know, John says, "You don't believe the Lord's coming back." He says, "You don't believe that." John says, "Every man that has his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know, if you believe the Lord, if you really believe the Lord's coming back, if you really believe you're going to give an accounting, it'll make a difference in the way you live your life. Bottom line, it just will. No, but sometimes we look around, you know, and it sure seems some of these other folks prosper by doing a lot of other things, underhanded things and compromising things, and they seem to get along pretty good. They seem to have it better than we do sometimes. David got like that, and I'll just share a portion of a psalm, but it kind of reminds me of an old Baptist preacher, R.G. Lee, used to preach, "Payday Someday." You know, payday someday. And Psalm 73 verse 2, David said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish, at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." Sounds kind of like a description of the folks you might see in someplace like Washington, D.C. But I'm just saying. Later on in the psalm, David says, as he goes on talking about looking at these folks, they seem to be prosperous. They seem to, you know, get all the stuff they want. The wicked, the foolish. Verse 12 of Psalm 73, he continues. He says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." These guys, they give, and I try to do right, and I just struggle and suffer. "If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." David said, it just hurt my head to think about this stuff. Then verse 17, he says this, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." You know, payday someday. If they work great, but then you die. You know, for the Christian, the judgment seat of Christ, for the reprobate, the great white throne, and an eternal judgment. You die. It's hard for the younger folks; they don't even hear that. You know, once you start get up about my age, I start thinking, you know, I really look in the paper, and there's people there. I said, man, they're about my age, you know. Or some of these folks say, well, they're not much older than me. And then you start thinking about it more. When you're a young person, you teenager, you don't, you're never going to die. But you're going to die. You die. And then what? David said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction." And so now, more than ever, you know, we need to continue on. We're going to give an account. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account to our Lord and Savior. He's a gracious God, you know, and He's going to purge all those things and put them behind us, and they'll be gone. And I'm glad they will be, because, you know, I know I got lots of things to do some explaining to, but that ought to keep us right, like John says. You know, the one that has this hope in him, he purifies himself. But you really believe that? Oh no, you won't be perfect. Don't we all know that? But it's going to make a difference in the way you live. Okay, finally, the seventh thing. I actually added this one on to what I'd done before. But we continue on, and these all kind of, you know, interlock, and so we've touched on this before. But we continue on because the end is in sight. The end is in sight. You know, I used to run some races. 5Ks, and at least on one occasion, you know, 8 miles. And what is, you get tired after a while. I never ran a marathon. I could imagine that. But, you know, you're running. But if you get come over that hill and you can see that, you can see the end. You know, no matter how tired you are, you can, maybe you can't sprint anymore, but you still can kind of pick up your pace. You're not going to quit. You're still going on because you can see the end. Brethren, we can see the end. Look about us. And I won't get into all eschatology. I used to know everything about eschatology. I used to know everything about the end times. But I don't know very much anymore. I know less and less as time goes on. And I don't know exactly how the Lord's going to work it all out. But I do know He's coming back. And I do know He's going to establish a kingdom. And I do know, as I read the Scriptures, I believe, you know, there's going to be the reestablishment of a temple in Israel. And I think, you know, we may be around for that. Some folks think, you know, we'll get pulled out and not have to see or endure anything. I don't know if that's strictly the case. I know the Lord won't put us under His wrath, but we may suffer the wrath of the Antichrist. And so we may see the Antichrist. And if that makes me a heretic to some of y'all, okay. But I was reading in the papers recently, you know, that they're breeding animals in Israel so that they have a red heifer. That kind of gives me goosebumps now, just thinking about it. You know, but they're breeding it because they need a red heifer to reinstitute the sacrifices in the temple. And, you know, the Antichrist is going to desecrate that temple and so forth. So the temple, I believe, is going to be rebuilt. And I see folks who aren't, they're not regenerate people. And the Lord's still using, Israel is still using these people. Most of them are still reprobates. But they're breeding animals so that they've got the red heifers ready. And that, wow, that's kind of, they need that when they reinstitute the temple. So I see the end. The end is, and I just look about what's happening. How much longer can this stuff go on? That's going on in our society. You know, who's our heroes now? Some guy or some woman that used to be a guy that used to be a, I don't know. Those are heroes? We're finished. The end's in sight, one way or the other. If the Lord tarries, you know, this nation's done. And what did Paul say as he wrote to the Hebrew saints in Hebrews 10:25? He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And again, I don't know all the details of eschatology. I'm not inclined to fight about it, except some folks that get off and just deny the clear teachings of the book. I won't tolerate that. But some folks, sure, they had all the details, and, you know, we were supposed to have been gone a long time ago. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. But I do know this, the day is approaching. Paul says, as ye see the day approaching, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And is there any here that can't see the day approaching? The Lord, in the book of Revelation, I very much identify with the church of Thyatira. And the Lord spoke to the church at Thyatira, and he said this in Revelation 2 and verse 24. He said, but unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak. I mean, some had already departed. But he said, those of you that are there haven't. I will put upon you none other burden. And he said this, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And I see the day approaching. And the Lord would have us to hold fast till he comes. And I would hope to say with the Apostle Paul, or at least strive for this, in 2 Timothy, again to a young pastor at Ephesus, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul said this. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. And we're called to different ministries and different things. And I'm not saying I'm Paul or anything, and Paul, the Lord has different things for me. But there was a sense in which, and I've used this expression before, but there's a sense Paul was kind of a dangerous old man too, you know. And Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. You know, he said, I can see the end. You know, if not for the Lord coming back, you know, they're gonna do me in. The time of my departure is at hand. He said this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I mean, what more could we say, or could we want to say? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And may we be privileged to hear, you know, from our Lord's lips as he spoke in one of his parables in Matthew 25, verse 21. He said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now we ought to desire to hear that, you know, from our Lord. We ought to desire with Paul to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You know, we're here. You see the finish line's in sight, and just say, oh, I quit now, it's too hard. How sad would that be? And so we continue on. We continue on, and again, as we start out, we continue on because I think the Lord's called us to this ministry. You know, like he called Elijah, like he called Jonah, and some of these other folks. We continue on because we couldn't quit if we wanted to. Jeremiah said, I quit, and then he said, oh, I can't quit. I quit? No, I can't quit. We continue on because we're accountable as the head of a household for our own family. That they're brought up in the truths. We continue on because of God's past faithfulness. Faithfulness.
Amen.
Faithfulness. He's been with us every step of the way. This passage in Deuteronomy says, thou hast lacked nothing.
Amen.
We continue on because there's a faithful remnant. And the Lord's, I think, brought them together. And we can't just leave them. We continue on because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh. We're going to stand before our Lord. So what did you do? How did you do what I told you to? You know? And we continue on because the end's in sight. Again, oh, you pick up the paper, you know, turn on the television and see. The end's in sight. One way or the other, the end's in sight. Maybe the end like Paul saw it and said, you know, the day of my departure's at hand. You know, they're gonna do me in. Or it may be, as John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. That would be great. But until then, I pray, and I can't do it in my own strength. That would never happen. But I pray that the Lord keep us faithful.
Amen.
Keep us faithful. And keep us going until He returns. Okay, let's take our hymnals and turn to page number 164. In Deep Eternal Counsels. Number 164. We'll stand and sing this song together. Number 164. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we've so imperfectly reflected upon Your faithfulness over these past 30 years. Lord, in many ways it seems, but for a moment, And Lord, you've been with us every step of the way. You've provided all. We have lacked nothing. Father, we pray for grace to continue on, to finish the course. Lord, to accomplish that which you've called us to. To not quit shy of the finish line that you've set for us. Lord, continuing on in the light of your sovereignty, of your faithfulness. Father, I thank you for each one that's here, for this remnant that you brought together. Lord, may we minister one to another. Indeed, Lord, we think we see the end. But thankfully, Lord, as your children, we know what that end is. We can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray now for those that need your healing hand. I think of my cousin Danny, who may be undergoing lung transplant surgery even at this moment. Pray that you be with those that are operating on him, those that treat him, give them skill. Lord, we know the healing comes from thee. If you're pleased, that you might raise him up. Lord, we pray for the many others that need your healing hand. I thank, Lord, of Brother Manuel here and vision problems he's been having, and that you might give wisdom to those that are diagnosing and treating him. Pray, Lord, you help us in this coming week as we undertake to accomplish some things that we believe you have us to do, to stand as your people and to stand for the truth and the right, that you're with us, prepare the way, prepare us. Father, thank you for your word, that we need not lean to our own understanding. We have the thus saith the Lord of Scripture. Pray, Lord, you might apply that to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, as we just sang about that blessed eternal counsel, Father, we thank you for that everlasting covenant. Lord, we know there was nothing worthy in us, and yet you chose us to your glory. You chose us because it pleased you. And you undertook and accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you for his atoning death. First completed sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that quickened us and drew us to embrace the gospel of our salvation. Again, Lord, go with us this week. Use us all to your glory. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.